Ring?
Hello?
Hey, is this the soul of Armand speaking?
Yes, that speaking, soul of Armand.
Yeah, hi. This is God.
Hey, we haven't talked in a bit.
Yeah, I've been listening though. I've been keeping tabs on. Don't worry, I listen to everything.
God,
don't worry about it. Anyway, I did want to just apologize. I think there was some kind of mix up when you came to pick up your life. I think I accidentally gave a different life to you. You had requested a non-binary identity, but I totally just gave you the life of just like a child who's going to be raised as a cis boy.
I figured that was like an issue with the app, like when I ordered, like it kind of glitched out.
It was an issue with the app. We had this weird thing happen where people's orders were like doubled, so we had like twice as many lives as we did souls that day. And I was trying to hand it out, but, you know, they're all in these extremely... They're in body bags, of course, because they're bodies. So they're just these kind of disturbing
husks.
Black zipped-up bags, and they all look the same. And I'm sorry. You got the wrong one.
So is there, like, a buyback program, some sort of, like, compensation? So I get something for the mix-up?
So, there's no, you know, on the record, of course, you know, no compensation to speak of. And to be clear, I'm not admitting to doing anything wrong.
You literally said you messed up. That's admitting something wrong.
Well, there was a mix up, but I don't accept
passive
culpability.
Passive ass voice.
I don't accept
cheeky ass God.
But in terms of a buyback program, I did want to just let you know reincarnation could be an option.
Oh, that's real.
It is. Not everybody gets it. It's a very exclusive
thing. Yeah, I never understood it myself. Yeah, I didn't get it myself.
you're funny. Hey, I just want you to know, me to you, your dad, totally wrong about you. And about me. All right, I'll see you when you die. Bye.
Oh, wait, is there a warranty? Oh, he's gone. Or she.
Beep, please stay on the line for a survey to let us know how this customer service
phone call went.
On a scale of 1 to 9, 9 being the best and 1 being the worst, how satisfied were you with your customer service from heaven today?
Oh, whenever I get these things, I feel so awkward because, like, I don't want to screw over the employee, but a good man never lies. And therefore, I will hang up the phone without answering, even though the answer is a 2.
Hey, buddy, you passed my test. This was one of those classic God tests. I was going to see if you were going to lie. You
God.
Didn't.
Yahweh. No way, Yahweh.
No way. All right. Hey, everybody who has hung on.
Like a person dangling from a cliff. All of you who have managed to hang on this long to this torturous experience, welcome.
Yeah, at the beginning of every episode of this podcast, I like to kind of give my limbs a shake.
You call it the great filter.
yes. just kind of try to fling off casual hangers-on who aren't really dedicated to the show, you know? Hey, guys. Welcome to Yes Androgyny Season 2, ooh-hoo. Baby. It is Pod Girl Summer, and we are getting right into it. My name is Charlie. I use she, they pronouns. I am.
Oh, have you switched from they, she to she, they?
I'm, you know, I've decided it doesn't matter. I decided it doesn't fucking matter what order they come in. So, yeah, I'm using she, they pronouns, they, she, whatever. They or she or they. Interchangeable she.
The or she.
With me, as always, is my boon companion, my NB in arms. We've said that before. I think you've said that before.
No, you said that. Well, that was you, line. You've called me an NB in arms multiple times, and I always appreciate it.
The cleverness of me. Why don't you introduce yourself, buddy?
Yes, hello. My name is Ari Noble. I go by he, they pronouns. I am a non-binary, I would say kind of on the mask side, person. I didn't have a final word to end that with. I'm just a person, just like you, listener.
This is the show where two queer improvisers talk about their lives and discuss the intersection of art and identity through the lens of improv comedy. Whoa. Little show explanation. That was so concise.
Season two, baby. Starting off on the right foot these last couple episodes. Just going right into it.
Season two. I see you. I see. I'm into this. Okay.
Season two, an excuse to say that everything we did before was skippable. Oh, all of that. That was the first season. It wasn't like a few weeks ago. It was the first season.
Yeah, it's the Buffy trajectory. Like, if you really like it, you'll like season one. But season two is when, like, the real, you know, everything kind of clicks into place. The real emotional depth and creative storytelling come into play.
And here we are.
And also there is unspeakable abuse happening behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah. No, it's horrific. But at the end of the day, people will say, can't we still enjoy the show without feeling guilty about what goes on? And the answer is not really, but who do you, I guess?
I mean, I guess the answer truly is, if you can, then yeah. Like, yes, if you can still love and enjoy Harry Potter despite all of the myriad problems with its author, like, if you're capable of that, then yeah, of course you can still enjoy it. Like, no one's gonna stop you.
Holding the person in your arms, are you saying that no matter what the author does, you're going to keep reading Harry Potter over and over again, including all of the horrible additional material?
Always.
So that's what that was about. But yeah, I'm just all you viewers who are like, whoa, this is going for a ride. I am too. I just sat down to record. I don't know where we're going. This train has gone off the track, rolling through down the hill to pass Ari's chagrin. See, callback into the ravine. Actually, this is how Ari's chagrin is created. I careen off the edge of the cliff right there.
Yeah, listeners,
reward for those who listen to more than one episode.
Listeners, I'm trying a new thing today, which is where I keep my co-host completely in the dark.
It's like most of my life with regards to my identity.
Yeah, I've noticed that you actually, like, as soon as I told you that you're gonna be just like kept in the dark, you actually visibly relaxed. It's like, it's almost like this is your natural state.
This is who I am, baby.
Yes. Now stand in the sandbox. The playful sandbox of improv comedy, and shove your head into the sand.
Like the ostrich of yore.
All right, so what are we doing today? Well, I figured, you know, it's season two, it's Pod Girl Summer, and
as you want it to be a thing, I don't know if it's ever going to become a thing.
It's going to catch on. It's catching on as we speak. I'm interested in trying something today. I will say, it is not part of the structure of the new season two structure of the show. It's actually not part of it to have an interminable intro. This is just something that has happened naturally. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do the same thing where we have, you know, conversations about, you know, conversation about our lives, about queerness and, you know, trying to just sort of process things or what have you. But, you know, and we're also going to have improv that happens sort of off of those conversations. But we're going to change the structure a little bit, and we're actually going to, we're going to play an improv game that I've invented.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right.
So this is specifically an improv game that, you know, it's not only for queer improvisers, but, you know, like, you'll see. I think it will
you'll
have special
see.
Significance.
You'll all understand.
Queer improvisers, but also any improvisers who often find themselves at odds with a certain branch of their family.
Like, that's queer improvisers. We call ourselves sin improvisers.
Sin. Yes. And there's just a couple of sin provisos that we that we need to lay down before we enter this contract. I don't know. The social contract you enter into anytime you do improv. So yeah, but this could be played by queer improvisers. It could also be played by, you know, if you're a progressive person, the only progressive child in like in your Kentucky family.
Of fried chickens.
Yes, if you're the inheritor of the Kentucky Fried Chicken Empire and you've never gotten along with your parents, this is specifically for you. So here's the game.
Let's hear the game.
The improv game, it's called Call Your Uncle.
Uh-oh. I don't want to do that at all.
So, yeah, and that's the thing. No one does. No one does. So I think uncles are fascinating. I think uncles are really interesting because, there is such a meme around the idea of the, like, the transphobic uncle, the problematic uncle. And I think it's because there is genuinely this phenomenon where your uncle is the person in your life who is just close enough to your family that you have to interact with him, but far enough away, you know, far enough away. Like, he's not a parent. You know, he's not, like, in charge of you, unless you are an orphan who was sent to live with your uncle, which is another.
That's a whole other can of worms.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. Uncles are interesting. Like, throughout literature, think about how many, like, bad uncle characters there
are. You either have the bad uncle, the cool uncle, the silly uncle, the mysterious uncle, the rich uncle, the poor uncle. Uncle is like its own breed.
Right. Instead of, yeah, my, and by the way, are you ever going to buy my new self-help book, Rich Uncle, Poor Uncle?
I mean,
or is that just,
it hasn't worked for you.
No one's going to buy it. It hasn't worked for me.
Rich Uncle, Poor Uncle. If you have a rich uncle, inherit that shit. If you're poor uncle, run away.
Here's how it's going to work. It's going to start with one of us telling a story related to an uncle. So this can be a story about your uncle in real life. It could also be talking about, like I said, your some experience involving maybe a fictional uncle that you like read about or watched or you want to talk about. It could be an experience with, like, I don't know, it could be mean anything to you that you want, but it has to be a story about an uncle, whatever that means to you. And we'll just sort of talk about it for a little bit. And we'll just have a conversation about it and see where that goes. But at some point in that conversation, one of us is going to initiate a phone call, like I did at the beginning of the episode.
Ah, I see what you've done there.
And it just interrupts with a phone call. And whoever interrupts with a phone call, they are either an uncle or, nephew or niece or whatever. The other person will answer, and then we will do an improvised phone call between an uncle and their nephew or niece, or is there a gender neutral term for that?
There is none.
So that's how it's going to work. And so we'll do like this improvised phone call, and that'll last for however long. So the scene ends when the phone gets hung up, and then we will go back to story time and we'll just bounce back and forth like that. I can start, because the reason this occurred to me is because I had a weird experience with an uncle recently. Yes, the opener that everybody's excited about. This June, I got married.
I didn't know. I'm scared. I was like, you never told me.
It was a
wedding. The wedding will be a whole conversation in itself.
It was a lovely ceremony. Ari played the piano for the processional. in the week leading up to the wedding, I was talking to one of my uncles who is an uncle that we've talked about on this show before. One of the Boston uncles.
Ah, yes, the Boston uncles.
But the better of the two uncles. Like, you know, the one that actually came to my wedding. And he, it was fascinating. He, because I'm presenting pretty femme these days.
You are pretty femme.
Aww.
It's true, though.
Jesus.
I had nothing to do with this,
he says, fading away.
Leave me alone! Every time someone says my name, I have to appear like Beetlejuice.
Except Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's only been 3 days! Let me rest!
The Passion of the Christ starring Michael Keaton. Would have been a different movie. Directed by Tim Burton. Oh, I want to see that. I'm presenting Femme, and so my uncle had some questions. And I don't want to, like, you know, I don't want to, like, drag his ass on the podcast. Like, it was actually really kind of, it was kind of sweet.
Aw. What'd he do? What did your uncle do?
But also really, like, inexplicable in a bunch of ways. Have you, Ari, have you had a relative, like, inquire about, like, some aspect of your life in a way that is, like, well-meaning but also completely misinformed?
Oh, you mean when my uncle talked to me about my identity, which happened recently, too?
Really?
Yes.
All right, I'll tell mine first, and then you can tell me yours. So my uncle opens the conversation, literally being like, well, he's like, hey, do you mind if I ask you some questions, you know? And I was like, no, not at all. I mean, we were all very drunk, by the way. That might be an important thing to mention. He was like, you mind if I ask you a question? I was like, yeah, sure. Like, of course.
Of course I, please, of course I mind.
Right. And he was like, not for nothing.
Not always a good thing to hear your uncle start with. Not for nothing.
But when you're banging your wife, do you use your dick?
Jesus Christ.
No, he went on to ask a lot of other much
uncles,
like,
what the fuck are they talking about?
What the fuckle?
What the funkle?
He went on to ask several other questions that were, I would say, more attuned to the context of this is an uncle talking to his niece.
Well, you fuck your future wife. And congratulations, by the way.
Yeah.
Do you fuck her with your penis?
But isn't that fascinating? Isn't that just a fascinating... That was his starting point. And don't you think that's so interesting? Like, first of all, I think it definitely says something... I talked to a friend about this, and they had a really good point. They were like, it says something about straight people. Like, painfully straight people, like, cannot envision, like, sex outside of the bounds of, like,
what they perceive it as.
The penis enters the hole. Like, even, you know, when they think of gay sex, they just think the penis enters the other hole. Like, they can't envision, like, that sex can take on a lot of other meanings. It can be, like, it can have a lot of, like, variety to what it means. And the second thing was also, like, the assumption of, like, first of all, that, like, using a penis would indicate that it's not, like, that's intrinsically masculine to him.
I think that's right? The core of it, right? If I'm gonna, you know, wax psychological here, I think what he was trying to ask was kind of like, so you are a woman, and then my uncle mind, that means that you don't want to have a penis. So I know you're probably a sexual being. So how does that make sense? Like, what possible alternative could there be? And I think he literally just couldn't fathom how you could make that work. Because in his mind, wanting to be a woman means rejecting the penis. I think that's what his mind was telling him, right? It's a very very traditional, old-fashioned idea of what gender and sex are.
Yes, exactly. It goes back.
But
exactly.
He could have asked it in a less horrific way. Jesus, please, uncle.
Yes. Well, yeah, there's two parts of the story. There's the, like, there's the interesting part, which is, like, what does this, the fact that this is not just a question he would have, but the first question. This has been on his mind. He thought about this, and he came over. He sought me out to ask me this, right?
Imagine the moment so he decided, I have a question I have to ask my niece. This is going to be, yes. How is she possible? I'm going to ask her. Her face will droop, and she'll say, oh, you're right. Come back outside in a suit. You were right. I didn't think about it.
You're right. I forgot. Yes, yes, yes. It'll be like
I forgot the penis.
It's like like a courtroom scene, like the gotcha moment. Like, do you use your penis when you fuck your wife? No. Do you use your penis when you fuck your wife? I'm not answering that. Do you use your penis? You're goddamn right. I do. Hello.
Hello. You might not remember me. Michael, is it? It's been so long. Is that what you go by now?
It's Matthew, actually, but it's not what I go by now. That's always been my name.
Oh. But I was told that your name was different, but you're Matthew to me.
Is this Uncle Donovan?
Yes.
Yeah, so you're actually...
Donnie.
You're thinking...
Donnie, you can call me Donnie. I'm relatable and approachable.
Okay, well, thank you, Uncle Donnie, and you've always seemed that way to me. I just want
one moment.
Pass the ribbon. Why don't you get it yourself, you mongrel?
I don't got on my chair. That's awesome.
Yeah, Uncle Donnie, how's your mother doing? Is that her I heard in the background? my grandmother?
Yeah, the old crow just won't die. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm gonna outlive you, you stinking sack of shit.
Oh, I love that lady. So you're so so yeah, Michael, so Michael, 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 Michael,
Matthew,
Michael,
no,
Michael,
Matthew,
Michael, Mikey, Mikey, little
I think
Mikey.
You're actually thinking. Okay, I think you're confused. So you're thinking. I think you're actually thinking of my older sister, who is going by Magdalene now.
Oh, yes, Michael.
No, we don't say that name anymore, Uncle Donnie. We call her Magdalene. We don't like saying that name anymore. But I'm Matthew.
Magdalene?
Magdalene.
I thought your name was Michael.
Uncle Donnie.
I'm trying to understand.
Listen.
I'm so confused.
Okay, here's how
the world has changed so fast around me. I just want
Uncle
to
Donnie,
understand.
Nothing has changed. You live in the same house that you grew up in with your mother. Nothing in your life is in danger.
I'm so
all that has
scared.
Happened. No, Uncle Donnie. I mean, Uncle Donnie, you've changed your name. We always called you Uncle Donovan, and now you want to be called Donnie. Think about that for a second, you know? Why do you want to be called Donnie instead of Donovan?
Donovan never much fit me, Michael.
Exactly, Uncle. So you are now opting to... go by the name that feels right to you.
But I'm a man.
Yes, you identify as a man, and that's great. And we love that.
Identify? What is this, an Encyclopedia Brown novel? Identify, I found the clues?
Oh, Uncle Donovan, I'm sorry. I just had a very sad memory of...
Oh, no.
I just remember, like, when I was a kid, and you would read Encyclopedia Brown to me, and we would like figure out the mystery together, and I just like it just made me realize like there's, you know, we've lost something. We've lost a real relationship here by not talking to each other as much.
I know.
Yeah, I'm glad you're sitting on this. I'm glad you're thinking about it, because you could, depending on what you say next, you could have a relationship with your nephews and nieces. You could, right now, I'm feeling very generous toward you in spite of the horrible things that you've said and done to this family that we're not even going to get into. But so right now, Uncle Donnie, you have a chance to really reconnect and, in an honest, earnest way with someone who loves you and misses you.
I'm so scared that everyone left me behind.
You know, no one has left you, all right? You live right down the road. Why don't I come over and we can read some Encyclopedia Brown together?
That sounds very fun, Matthew.
Wow. You said my correct name. Let me ask you a question, Uncle Donnie. Is the reason you love Encyclopedia Brown so much because there's always a really simple solution right at the end, and no matter what happens, there's going to be some really obvious clue embedded in the story? Like, you catch someone lying one time, and then you know that they're complete bullshit, nothing else they said was true, and you've completely figured everything out. Is that appealing to you?
I like the simple answers, and I like that they pay Encyclopedia Brown a quarter, because that means, in their wonderful world, the horrible minimum wage has been abolished. Two reasons. I'm not perfect yet.
I'm sensing that my foot is in the door and we could maybe talk about this. So I'm going to come over.
Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to finally set myself aflame.
Hey, Mom. Matthew's coming over. Oh, Matthew.
I'll be nothing but a pile of ashes by the time that he gets here. But then I shall rise from the ashes transformed like a beautiful phoenix.
Mom needs help again. I've got to go take care of her.
All right, I'll be over in like half an hour.
Taking care of an old woman is actually pretty difficult, and I put a lot of time and effort into this. I'm a complicated person.
You're a good guy. You're a good guy. All right, I'll see you soon. Click.
I see the appeal of the uncle game.
It's good. It's a good game, right? So what's up with your, what can you talk about the conversation you had with your uncle? I'm fascinated by uncles.
Yeah, my
uncles are so weird.
My uncle conversation is a lot less shocking than yours. So my uncle, he who I will not name, is a very lovely man. I'm very close to him. My older sister, who is a trans woman, the first person she came out to was my uncle, because she trusted that he would understand, and he did, and he really helped her through that time, and he was always there for her and there for me. He was very kind. And recently we were at a family get together, and he asked me, he basically was like, so I hear you're going by like a different identity or something. I'm like, yeah, I'm non-binary. And he's like, my uncle was very much like a, you're a trans woman, I get it, you're a woman, good to know. Non-binary, yes, was just like really hard for him to understand. It was that kind of like,
yes.
So
yes.
Why are you non-binary? What does that mean? And I pause, because that is not a fun question to have to answer when you're still thinking about that yourself. I was like, it's just I don't feel like a woman. I don't feel like a woman, but I also don't feel like a man, and I just, neither feels right to me, and I'm not even saying like this is where I've landed, because you never know, but this is where I am right now. And he was like, but you're still going by he pronouns. You're still using he. And I'm like, well, okay, that's comfortable for me, and I'm fine with that. And I tried to explain to him, and at the end of the conversation, he accepted me for existing as I was, but he genuinely just didn't understand. He was like, I don't understand what non-binary even means. Like, what are you picking?
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that an interesting kind of uncle? Like, the uncle who isn't actually transphobic, but is that is non-binary phobic. Like, in a grand sense, like, hates things that, or phobic of not being able to categorize things in a way that makes sense in his head, right? Like, I find that to be interesting. I even think that that's a little bit what was going on with my uncle, where I think part of what was going on with him was, I am femme presenting, but I am, to the layman, I'm pretty, I have like masculine. Last time my uncle saw me, I had facial hair, and that wasn't that long ago. I'm big, I'm hairy, I have like, I'm pretty boisterous and loud sometimes. And so I do think that like part of the struggle.
He expected you to, like, he wanted you to present. He's like, if you're going to be a woman, you have to present the way I think a woman is.
Right, and you can't fuck with a penis. But like for but for you, I think, yeah, I imagine that it's probably harder for you to navigate these conversations. Because for me, yeah, I identify as like a non-binary trans woman. I'm a little bit, you know.
So it's a little more nebulous maybe to some people.
I'm a little bit nebulous, but I'm still like, I'm wearing dresses, you know? I'm like, I definitely can say that I feel very feminine. I feel like it's probably harder for you to navigate. I mean, was it at all interesting or useful to you to have to try to articulate it?
Yeah.
Or was it just frustrating?
It's always interesting, and also always the one thing that's hard about it, right, is that when I try to explain this to people, because obviously he's not the first person to ask me this question, it is hard sometimes not to have a slight identity crisis when I cannot answer the question clearly. It creates a thing about being non-binary sometimes. I'm not saying this isn't a universal experience by any means, but I'm sure a lot of people in the non-binary spectrum or agender spectrum can understand this. Sometimes it can feel a little bit hard to like quite define why this is right for you or what it means, because even as a non-binary person, I was raised in a world in which the idea of what man and woman, there was something, right? There was something tangible. And mine is a rejection of the tangible that it becomes harder to explain to people when they just don't get it. You kind of have to just kind of get it, right? It has to click with you in a way. I feel like non-binary, at least in my experience, is a very nebulous and emotionally vague.
It's almost like it's like when you talk to someone who is like spiritual but not religious. Like,
that's kind of what it feels like.
Explain what you mean to me. Like, so like if they're religious, if they're like, yes, I am Christian,
I believe
and I follow
in this,
these teachings,
yeah.
and but if you're like, yeah, I
don't really believe anything, I'm spiritual.
I don't believe in that, and yet I sense that there's a place in the universe for meaning and for harmony, and that I am not alone, and we are not alone, and there is love. It's asking people to define a feeling that by definition is like uncategorizable.
Yeah, that's truly what it is. I've used this analogy before, but I think it's very apt here. It's like someone's like, okay, so being a man is living in California. Being a woman is living in New York. I'm somewhere in the realm of North Dakota or whatever. Sometimes it feels like being non-binary is like, I don't live on the planet. I'm like over on the moon somewhere. And it's like, what does that even mean? Like, you're not even like participating in the discussion. You're not on the line. You know, I think one of the things I go by non-binary, not agender, because I've taken like quizzes, that, including one I took on a Patreon episode that you can check out if you subscribe to our Patreon. Bam.
There is always one Ari Patreon plug.
Every time. I will always.
Every episode. That's a promise. That's a season 2 promise.
That's a season 2 promise, baby.
Plug Girl Summer.
Plug Girl Summer.
Maybe not.
Maybe not Plug Girl Summer. Maybe. Part of what I went with non-binary and not agender is that agender is, at least, again, this is all in terms of how I experience the terms myself. That's how all terms really work in this case. Agender to me is a sort of like, I just am not. I am not. This capital N not. As a non-binary person, I don't participate in the binary, but that doesn't mean that some days I don't wake up feeling more mask or wake up feeling more femme or feel like he feels fine and like, or like we're having
Have
a beer
ever,
feels can, good. It's very, it's I just, I am a shifting, and gender fluid is also kind of close, except for gender fluid.
I was about to ask if you've ever.
Sometimes I'm just, a lot of the time I just don't even have any, I'm not, none of them. So like I'm a lot of the time agender, but floating between other.
It's almost like you're gender fluid fluid.
I'm gender fluid fluid.
Sometimes you're gender fluid and sometimes you're not.
That's kind of what it is. And to me, non-binary captures that feeling so well, because it's like, I don't know, there's a binary and I'm not on it and I don't know what I am. Like, I'm just something. And hard to explain that to an uncle. Speaking of which, I got a phone call.
Bring, bring.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Poppet.
Oh my God. Is this uncle? Uncle Methuselah?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Wait, sorry. Weird accent moment there. Yes, this is Uncle Methuselah. And I'm calling you from the wilds of the safari.
How are you getting up? How are you even getting a connection out there? You're always, like, gone for months at a time doing these little adventures and, like...
Well, I'll tell you what, Hannah. I invented a new kind of battery.
While you were in the safari, you invented a battery.
Yes. Yes, Hannah. I invented a battery because, you know, I'm an inventor as well as an explorer, and I found a special type of lodestone that I was able to break into small crystalline chunks, and then I put them in the sun, and they absorbed enough solar power to allow me to boost my signal.
You know, Uncle Methuselah, look, your adventures are very, very exciting, and we always love when you bring back little trinkets, though sometimes it feels a little culturally appropriate when you bring back things and tell us you took it from an ancient temple, and we feel like maybe you shouldn't have done that. Speaking of which,
I do have something for you. I mean, finish your thought, but it's a good reminder, because I did find something that I think you're going to really love, Hannah.
It's just when we were kids, you know, and you would come back with, like, an ancient totem belonging to some culture. We got so excited. And I have so many sitting on my shelf, but mm-hmm. I'm thinking of donating them to, like, you know, like, maybe a museum that can then take them back to their people and find...
A museum, Hannah? A museum is just the... It's the trophy room of the colonizers. I mean, listen, if a white person is going to have this totem... I mean, you don't know what tribe it's from. I don't even remember where I got it. So, at this point, the damage is done. If a white person is going to have it, might as well be my little Hannah.
All I was trying to say, I guess, was you always go on these little adventures, but, like, you literally were able to invent a battery out of rocks. Methuselah, you could make so much money and do so much good for so many people by inventing more things to help people. But instead, you use the money that you make to just travel to these foreign countries, invade these places, and plunder.
I'm a bit of a pirate.
Even your name is you remember your Uncle Richard, but you went by Methuselah because you wanted to sound like the adventurers of old.
Yes, adventurers of old.
I respect you changing your name because changing name is not the conversation that needs to happen a second time.
Yes, but this is not about that.
But. You know, sometimes I wonder if it's not that you're trying to find something as much as you're trying to run away from something. Why do you keep...
Well, Hannah, you've got a good head on your shoulders, and that's why you're the only person in my good-for-nothing family that I still talk to.
Yeah, about that.
Because
Mom wants you to... Oh, okay.
I am... Nope. We're not talking about... We're not talking about my sister right now. This is about you and me. This is about you and me, Hannah. Because you get me, you know? You've got a good
do
head
I?
On your shoulders, and... Listen, I am running from something. I'm running from the crushing pressure.
I don't know why I thought you were
going to
say I'm running for president or something.
I'm running and I need your help, Hannah.
Anyway, you're what are you running from?
I'm running from the crushing pressures of having to make choices. Everyone, your whole life are asking you to make these definitive choices. Are you this or that? Are you going to do this job or that job? Are you going to get married to this person or this person? And at some point I said, I'm not doing any of that. I'm going to do what I please and I'm going to travel the world. And you know, yes, perhaps I take it way too far. And perhaps you do need to balance autonomy with a sense of personal and cultural responsibility. But... You know, I'm living the life I want to live, baby. Also, I am running for elected office.
God damn it!
I'm just kidding.
Thank God. I wouldn't help you. I wouldn't, like, you know, put out an ad saying don't trust him, like sometimes seems to happen recently with family members of elected officials, but I wouldn't.
Yes. Oh, I know. I know if I ran for president, all of my sniveling little nieces and nephews would go on their TikToks and they'd be like, you haven't even heard most of the stories about this guy.
Now, see, all this aside, you said you had a gift for me. Is that related to all of this? Is that why you're calling me? From your weird rock battery safari phone?
In fact, according to this clock that I've carved from the skull of a lion.
You killed a lion? That's not good.
I actually didn't kill him. I ran into a lovely, charming fellow, a dentist, who just had heaps of lion corpses, and he just let me take one.
I mean, I'm not excited about it, but...
And according to this clock, you should be receiving a special box at your door any minute.
Oh, there's one at the door.
Oh, don't worry. By the time you open the door, no one will be
there.
There's
a package here.
It'll just be a package.
There's a package on the ground. It's heavy.
It is. Yes, it's heavy.
All right.
Do you want to shake it for a second? Just to see if you can guess what it is?
Is it like a... is it some really problematic, like, ancient necklace or something?
Let me ask you this, because I'm not going to answer that. I'm not going to take the bait there. Does it sound wet?
I mean, now that you mention it, it sounds a little sloshy in there.
Kind of sloshing around, right? What could it be?
Is there something dead in here?
Now, is it a little warm to the touch?
Is this piss?
Wait, it's warm to the touch, right?
Yes, it is warm to the touch.
Okay. Good. I was worried for a second.
This isn't piss, is it, Uncle Methuselah? Heavy, wet, and warm?
Why don't you open it up? Listen, this guessing game is not very productive. Why don't you just open it up and see?
All right. Oh, my God!
Yep, that's right! It's a big box of...
It's a piss. Heads?
Piss heads.
Piss heads?
That's right.
What is a piss head?
Well, look in the box. You can see what it is.
It looks like...
You don't have to describe it to me. I know what it is.
This is horrible. Uncle Methuselah, why would you send this to me after all the beautiful, albeit problematic gifts? This is disgusting.
This is my newest invention. This is not even... I didn't take this from a culture. I would never lay that on the doorstep of a generic... generic overseas culture to say that they invented something called piss heads. It's all me. This is some white people shit. It's called piss heads. I invented it, and I am going to make millions.
I don't understand who would buy this. And I don't understand why this is relevant. Come home. Come home, Methuselah.
No, I'm still got it. I'm holding it together. I'm okay. This is not a call for
you. You could be selling the battery or not the clock. We're not going to talk about the clock. You could have used like this crystalline battery to bring power to poor cultures, and instead you're sending me piss heads.
Sorry. I'm feeling a little woozy. The blood that I'm currently drawing from myself to power the battery.
Oh. Uncle, we're going to end the call and you're going to stop using that battery. Come home.
Did I mention it takes blood to use?
You don't have to make all the choices. You can come here
can
and just
you
be
something?
Yourself. I accept you. You don't have to make a choice. Maybe come home is a good choice, though. You can tell me something,
Thank
Uncle
you.
Methuselah.
Thank you for saying that, Hannah. And I think I did need to hear that. I think I just needed to hear from someone in my...
Was the piss head just a ruse to get me to say that I accept you as you are? Because if I accept you with the piss heads, I'll accept every version of you? The piss heads aren't burying the lead, are they? I sure hope not.
Oh, I gotta go. I'm pass out in the desert.
All right, come home. I'll pick you up at the airport.
The guides here explicitly told me not to come to this area. They said this area is very dangerous and not for me, but I'm here anyway, so.
Methuselah, listen, just whatever you do, just know you can be your kooky old self and I'll always love you. Because no matter what you do or go by or change, you're always going to be whatever the gender-neutral term for uncle is. But I don't think there is one. You'll be that.
Click.
Well, poor Methuselah. Hope he finds his way home. I don't think he will. Just so you know, I do know what piss heads are, but I will never say.
Okay, okay, good.
I knew exactly. I opened a box, I saw piss heads when you said it. I knew exactly what they were. They were not pleasant.
They seemed unpleasant. You looked horrified.
It was awful.
That was some real, real Meisner, like, or not Meisner, Stanislavski, sense memory, whatever. I mentioned this at the beginning of this conversation, but that is something else that I just, as I was thinking about uncles this week, I was thinking how interesting it is. Like, is there a more maligned family member in all of literature than the uncle? Vernon Dursley, uncle from Kidnapped, Robert Louis Stevenson, fucking Claudio from Hamlet.
Why? Okay, I guess this is a good place to take the conversation as kind of the closer. Is why do we malign uncles, and why do we like? What is the myth of the uncle? Right? What is the uncle myth?
Yeah, the essential Western uncle myth. I think it has to do with, like, I truly do think there's something, I'm not smart enough to really analyze this, but I think there is something to do with his proximity being this perfect balance of,
he gets to have all the,
right there.
Yeah, he has all the closeness of family, but all the lack of responsibility of not having to be the parent, all the fun of getting to, like, be there just for certain times and then leave, but also all of the weight of being a man and all of the confusion of how emotionally close am I? Because I've had emotionally close uncles, but a lot of uncles kind of just like, including some I've had, are like just there in the outskirts, kind of like they come into your life occasionally to do whatever it is that that amuses them, and then they disappear from your life again.
And it's true. Like, the trope is of, regardless of the uncle, whether it's like, whether it's like the uncle who's
rich,
like
uncle,
the
poor uncle.
Rich uncle, poor uncle. Well, whether it's the abusive uncle, the uncle who murdered your father to take
the fun goal, the fun goal, the uncle who comes and gives you a fun time.
Yeah, who I'm trying to think of a good example of that, and I'm struggling.
It's not often used. I mean, Uncle Monty is actually kind of close to that.
Uncle Monty's Here's a Fortune Events. It's good. Yeah, like, I feel like all of these uncles, like the,
and sometimes you'll have people in your life who aren't actually related to you, but they go by uncle. Like, I had someone named Uncle Marty. You had Uncle Matt. People who aren't actually uncles, but they achieve uncle status. Whatever that status is, they achieve it to become an uncle.
Yeah.
What is it to be an uncle? Is it to be a man in a young person's life? For better or for worse.
Yeah, I think it is. It is. It's about being like, and I think there is something for like a traditional uncle, there is something about like, there is something masculine about this desire to like stand, to be, you want to be something to this kid.
Like, even in terms of how you interact with your brother or sister, especially when it's a brother. When it's like the dad and his brother, the uncle, kind of, you know, like, messes with the dad and kind of like.
Right. Or I had an uncle who insisted on taking me driving when I was first getting my driver's permit, because it was like, this is an uncle job. It's like, I take the young man out. It's a rite of passage. So, my uncle took.
So the core of this, I think the core of this is something to do with our relationship with masculinity and how we interact with the world, especially with young people. And I guess that's got, what is it? We both are AMAB. We both grew up probably at some point assuming we would be uncles, right, at some point. And now that's not necessarily true anymore, but that was a presumption that both of us had. One day, one of our siblings might have a kid and then we will become an uncle. What would that have meant to you? If you had been an uncle, what was the uncle you wanted to be in the world where you would have been an uncle? And what kind of auntie do you want to be? Because you're probably going to be an auntie at some point. Like, what?
Oh, I'm going to be the fun aunt. Like, absolutely. Like, I have always wanted to be, like, and that is what it is, right? You know, when I used to watch my siblings, my younger, especially my brothers, 10 years younger than me, like, there was something really fun about, like, playing his ridiculous games and, like, feeling like I was just, like, a little kid again, right? But you're not responsible, right? You're not, at the end of the day, it's not your job to, like, you're just a piece of the puzzle, but you're not responsible.
Yeah, you get to be there for the fun times. And I think that it is a very privileged and wonderful position to be an uncle or an aunt. And I think that a lot of people, because a lot of men especially a lot of AMABs, are broken. A lot of them squander it and use it as a bully pulpit, as it were. Because they basically get to, they have the say, and they don't have any of the parental responsibility. They can come in and control the situation.
Do you think it's fair to say that maybe part of being an uncle is whatever you feel like is missing in your life, you can use your relationship with your nieces and nephews as a cipher for whatever you want. So you want to be a kid again? You want to be a kid again? You get to be a kid again with your
nieces. This is totally definitely not true and very Freudian sounding, but I wonder if it's more likely for an uncle to be a sweet, kind, fun uncle if they don't have any kids themselves than if they do. Because all my uncles who had kids were busy with their kids and either were there for me with the energy they had, but not, or they teased me. And the uncles I had who didn't have kids or had like very young kids, didn't, like they had fun with me. Like they were getting something out of it.
Bring. Bring.
Hey, Donald's hey. Laundromat. Donald's Laundromat, who may I ask who's speaking?
Hey, Uncle Donald.
Ah, unrelated to the previous Donnied.
Yeah.
Hey,
what do you mean? What do you mean unrelated to the previous Donnie? What Donnie? Are you breaking the fourth wall again? You know we hate that. It's so unsettling when you break the fourth wall and you act like you're like a character in a story that only you know.
Well, you know how boring it is working at a laundromat all day? I thought you were a customer, and when I learned of my family, I felt a sense of relief because I didn't have to speak to a fucking customer for a second. Excuse me. Sorry, I'm busy. Thank you. Anyway, yeah.
You won't be busy for long, because I will never come to this laundromat again with that kind of language. I concur with the lady. I am disgusted by the display that I've heard here.
I got it.
And I, for one, shall nary be returning.
This is what I do with
everything. Okay with your business?
Yeah, every time they give a 1-star, I just add a 5-star, so I have a perfect 3-star reviewed location, but no one is happy. It's great.
Listen,
if you go 5-star, if you're a 5-star man, everyone expects you to be perfect. If you're a 1-star man, no one wants to see you. If you're a 3-star man, they want to see you, but they don't expect too much of you.
Well, this is why I was actually calling you Uncle Donald. It has to do with the 3-star thing, actually. Why do you keep every time, you know, because I'm right out of college, I've just started my own business. It's a car service. I mean, why am I explaining this? You know, because every time my star ratings gets up past 3 stars, I notice mysteriously some sock account logs in and leaves enough 1-star reviews to bring me back down to a 3-star average. Anyway, my boyfriend is a computer programmer. He was able to trace back to the IP address.
Oh, was he? Was he able to trace it back? God damn.
Yeah, and all the sock accounts, they belong to you, Uncle Donald, and I just want to know why you are... I understand why you want to be a 3-star business, but that's not me.
Do you remember your older uncle? Not me, but my older brother, Methuselah?
Yes, of course I... Yes, me, Hannah.
Yeah.
I remember Methuselah.
And you remember what happened? You remember what happened to him, right?
I was the last person to talk to him.
Yeah, they found him blood-drained and dead in the savannah, carrying a pile of rocks and what appeared to be piss heads.
Yes. Yes, and the police report went into a lot of detail about everything else, but neglected to...
I hear they're making an HBO documentary about it. Maybe they'll explain what piss heads are in there.
No, they're making HBO documentary, but they keep calling me to be a consultant because they're like, we're just stuck on the piss heads. We don't know what they are. We don't know how to define
them. None of that matters,
like,
Hannah.
None
of that matters,
Hannah. I'm not interested in this.
Piss heads don't matter. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No one wants to know what piss heads are. No one cares what piss heads are. What's you want to know why I leave 1-star reviews, Hannah? When we were kids, Methuselah, Richard always had a big head. And he always was trying out new schemes and trying new things, and we just wanted him to settle down, make a decision, and do it. And he just couldn't. He was too big for his britches, and one day, changed the name to Methuselah to become an explorer, went off, and look what happened to him. What I'm telling you, Hannah, is you have to ground yourself. None of these crazy adventures, you know, these crazy uncles and crazy voices, and you just gotta ground yourself. You are Hannah. like all average people, you are a 3-star woman, and I mean that in the best way possible. 5-star people, they end up crashed at an intersection with the paparazzi behind them. You're not a 5-star woman, because 5-star women, the brightest stars burn twice as fast.
Okay, first of all, Uncle Donald, I just want to say that I find it, your endless morbid fascination with Princess Diana is just, I hate that you bring it up in every conversation.
Every night I dream of the day I saw the news. When I was a kid, I want to tell you something. When I was a kid and Richard was a ball big on his britches, you know what I loved? I loved Princess Di because she didn't take it from anybody. She did her own thing. She spoke out. And she was beautiful, and I saw some of what I wanted to be in her, and then I was just in my teenage years, and boom, she's gone. Don't be a 5-star woman.
Uncle Don, I need to interrupt this. Like, this is so fucked up. Stop leaving. Let me be very clear. Stop leaving 1-star reviews on my business. What? Because you have some fucked up idea of yourself that you never lived up to the expectations, or I don't know, like you didn't become the princess you've always wanted to be. Like, whatever your hang up is, I am sympathetic to it. I'm here if you want to talk about the night I caught you wearing the tiara, but you are not going to fuck up my business and my livelihood because you can't accept certain things about yourself. It's not fair.
You didn't know the full extent of my plan, Hannah. Yes, I left you 1-star reviews. Yes. But on your car business. But I've been slashing the tires of every fucking customer who's come into my business. And your car repair shop is right down the road and there's no other one in the area. Do you wonder why so many people are leaving you 5-star reviews? Because they're desperate. They're frightened. Their car isn't working. Their tires are slashed.
What? Why? What the fuck?
All
is
their
that?
Customers That's... came from me, Hannah. I made you what you are, the perfect 3-star lady you are.
You didn't make me, okay? I made myself. You don't get to take credit for my success because in one street block, you slashed some tires. That doesn't make any sense. I think you want to be the perfect 3-star woman. Hell, I think you want to be a 5-star woman, but you feel like you can't be, and so you're reaching for 3 stars, and you're not even willing to accept that about yourself, so you're projecting all of that onto me. Stop it. Let me be super clear again. Please stop it.
Okay. I'll stop slashing tires. I'll stop leaving 1-star reviews.
Thank you. Thank you.
But God damn it if I won't keep referencing Princess Di in every conversation.
That's fine. That's fine. That's a win for me.
I don't...
Excuse me, vulgar man?
Yes, sir.
My tires have been slashed.
You're going to want to...
Some vandal!
You're going to want to go down. You're going to want to go down to Hannah's tires. Say, it's a second on the left. They'll get your right fixed up.
I would have gone, but I saw the reviews... So many 1-star reviews. I shan't be going to that business.
Well, good luck finding anyone else. Good luck finding anyone else in the tri-state area. You're going to have a heck of a time.
I'm furious. I'm going to go outside. I'm going to call every police station I can think of.
You do that, sir. And have an A1 day. Maybe I think of your car business and I see too much of myself in you. Maybe I have been living through you, Hannah.
Yes.
I'll go through and I'll log into all of my various alt accounts and I'll delete all the 1-star reviews. You actually have over 600 5-star reviews and over 700 1- and 2-star reviews from me. I'll go through and remove all of them and you'll be the 5-star woman that you've always wanted to be. Just promise me one thing.
Anything.
Don't get in the car with a driver who you don't know. Their abilities beforehand and don't drive fast.
Bye, Uncle Donald. Let me know if you need to talk about any discoveries you're making
Bye,
or
Di.
Clothes you're trying
Bye,
on.
Bye, Di. I mean, Hannah.
Oh, no.
Ah, there goes my little princess.
Click.
It all makes sense now. There are no mysteries in these stories left to uncover. None. No pissheads.
Wait, Uncle Donnie... Sorry, I'm still on the phone.
Oh, I heard a click.
You heard, oh yeah, sorry, you heard, I was just locking up my house, I'm about to go, are you breaking the fourth wall again? What did you mean, no more mysteries, no more stories, what are you doing?
Look, this HBO documentary is going to be the biggest thing that's ever happened to this family, and damn it if I'm not going to get an interview.
Yes, because if there's one thing we know for sure, it's that every time a true crime documentary is made about some kind of mysterious death, it's always great for the family. Click.
Now to walk up this staircase.
All right. I think we got to wrap things up here.
All right. Well, so, as we've learned today.
What did you think? What did you think of the new, what do you think of the game? What did you think of the idea of like trying to, the idea basically now in my head of season two is like trying to actively use improv to explore the ideas we want to talk about, like really integrate them together.
I think that was a lot of fun. I think that was a really, I think Adel gave us a fire under our butts that we needed.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to the Adel Refai episode season two premiere. It is a really good one, and I think it'll give a lot of context. If you want to know more about why improv is important to us, we do talk about it at length, and we're not just talking about uncles. We're talking about what it means to be masculine, whether you're a man or not, and what it means to, you know, I think uncle is the quintessential. It's a person who gets to make a choice about how they interact with the young people in their family and how much they interact and how they are perceived. And sometimes the inadequacies and the fears and the regrets. Uncles are curious beasts, as are all AMAB cis men.
Yeah. They're curious beasts, and you know, I think they're kind of like visiting like a zoo. They're interesting to look at behind glass, but when that glass disappears, sometimes it's very dangerous.
This episode goes out to all the uncles. Love y'all. Some of you.
Yeah, I appreciate. I do appreciate my uncle for making an attempt, and I isolated like the most ridiculous thing that he.
Well,
said.
I will also say there was no higher honor than not being someone's uncle, but then they start calling you uncle.
Oh, yeah. Being an uncle by title is so... That is... You know.
Can be an uncle because your sibling had a kid, or you can be an uncle because you've earned the title of uncle.
And so that's our message to all uncles out there is don't rest on your laurels, baby. Just because your sibling had sex... and successfully
you didn't accomplish anything, but you still can.
Yep, go out there and earn the title, boys.
Earn the title, boys, girls, non-binary people, and everything in between, baby. Specifically, be an uncle. Anyone can be an uncle.
Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye bye.
Yes Androgyny was conceived, recorded, and produced by Ari Noble and myself, Charlie Munro. If you want more content or you care to support the show, we can be found at patreon.com/yesandrogyny, where we will be posting an extra episode of bonus content, plus other fun surprises at least every off week. This show is co-produced by New 32 Productions, an independent North Carolina media company that Ari and I are both heavily involved with. You can find New 32 on YouTube at youtube.com/new32. That's N-E-W-3-2. Our music was composed by Florify, F-L-O-R-R-I-F-Y, whose link tree can be found in the episode description. Our theme song is Riff in A by Garrett Stein-Cerussi, who plays the guitar on the track, with additional arrangement, instrumentation, and mastering also by Florify. Our cover art is by the inimitable Izzy Pereira, who can be found on Twitter at Izzy Squeaksy. That is IZZYSQUEAKZY. Lastly but not leastly, Ari can be found on Twitter at Ari Noble Writes, where they post about their myriad music and webcomic writing projects, including their epic fantasy adventure webcomic in the vein of Redwall. They co-created it with our cover artist Izzy, and it is posted weekly. So definitely check that out. It's super rad. Thank you guys so much for listening. that concludes the credits. See you in 2 weeks, or sooner if you join our Patreon. Bye!